Welcome to the Catastrophic Comeback Podcast with American injury lawyer Clark Speaks, helping you find hope, purpose, and joy after a catastrophic injury.
Hi, and welcome to Catastrophic Comeback. Today, I'm really happy to have my guest, Linda Sibierski. Linda, it's great to see you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So, Linda, you are a person who's overcome adversity several times in your life.
Yes.
And that's kind of the purpose of this podcast. Like, we want to find people who have been through some kind of terrible tragedy, and we want to go in and give them examples and describe our experiences and the hopes that it might help somebody.
Yes.
And you're going to be a great guest for that, for exactly that reason. So before we get into tell me just briefly, how is it that you became a client of ours?
Well, I had a car accident 2 years ago.
Okay.
And saw your commercials on TV, said, we'll try you, and great.
Okay. And it wasn't just a fender bender. It was
my car rolled over 3 times, yes.
I had accident.
2 shoulder surgeries on my shoulders, yes.
Okay. Before we get into that, I want to back up a little bit.
Okay.
Because I know that this is not the first time that you've had to deal with adversity.
No.
In fact, you were present in New York City, 9/11.
Yes,
is that right?
Uh-huh.
Can you tell me a little bit about that experience? What do you remember of that day?
I remember quite a lot. I do remember a plane. The first plane hit one of the towers, and we were asked to exit the building, walking down the stairs, and we were actually facing the back. And then, like, maybe 10 minutes later, I saw a second plane, which was a little lower.
So by now, you're out of the building.
Yes, we're out of the
so
building.
So what's going? What floor are you on when you're told to evacuate the building?
Well, I was on the 19th floor.
Okay, and they're telling you to go down the stairs, go to the elevator?
No, they closed the elevators down. We walked down the stairs.
What's going through your mind when you're going down the stairs?
I just thought of just, you know, accidents happen. I just thought it was a plane that hit the building. You know, why or how, I had no idea why. But
you had already heard that it was a plane that hit the building. Did you think it was a big commercial plane or a little kind of a, you know, a small plane? Or what?
I probably just thought it was maybe like one of those what they call the single engine planes or something.
Sure, yeah.
So, you know, maybe it was an accident. Maybe, you know, somebody had a heart attack and, you know, they couldn't, you know, fly anymore. It didn't even cross my mind the first time. I felt, wow, that's a bad accident.
So when you're coming down from the 19th floor after the first plane hit, in your mind, it's no big deal.
Nope.
You didn't think it was, you know,
no,
a
absolutely
huge thing.
Not.
Okay, and then what happens
well,
next?
Well, they said when we came out of the building, we were in the back. So I didn't see anything more in the front. So now I see the second plane coming. It's to the right of us. And I just thought maybe it was like a water plane, you know, going to put out the fire and stuff. But no, that plane crashed into the tower. And me and everyone else that was behind it, behind the building, we all turned to run to get away. And in the process of me running, I was knocked over and trampled on. And then we made our way over the Brooklyn Bridge. Everybody's screaming and running, and then I turned around and I saw one of the towers go down, and it was just like an accordion with just black smoke. So when that happened, I turned around and looked like cattle was like chasing me. So I just moved over to the side, you know, of the bridge so I wouldn't get, you know, trampled on again. And it was like a woman, I couldn't help anybody. I didn't think of anyone. I just wanted to get home. Walked across the bridge. We were getting cars, you know, stopping cars to give us a ride home and stuff. And then for a long time, I was paranoid. Any car that hit like a backfire, you know. And even now today, wherever I go, I'm very cautious of where I'm going.
Sure, yeah.
I always
and looking for things that might be out of place.
Right, and also, I don't know for anyone, but your instincts. If you feel tingling or something's not right, listen to it. Because that day, I felt something was not right, and I was correct.
Wow.
Yes.
And so as a result of that experience, you had some physical and some mental health
yeah,
injuries.
I still have mental issues.
Okay.
I, as I said, I would not put myself in a crowd of people. Like, if there's a parade going on, I'd rather stay in the back. I just won't put myself in, you know, people. I don't know if people think that's, if it's weird or I'm not. I'm just very cautious because I had a traumatic experience, and I felt very helpless and vulnerable, and I don't ever want to be in that situation again. So I'm very cautious.
Well, so I mean, a lot of it, like I saw it on TV.
It's not the same.
And so that's why that's kind of my point, is it's not the same. And even then, like years later, if I see a plane that's flying unusually low in a city, or even in, you know, Charlotte or Wilmington, right, or whatever, and I see a plane that's flying unusually low, it's like, hey, wait a minute, something going on here. So I can imagine how much worse that must be.
The plane is, like I told you, the movie, like the Towering Inferno, and that was just a movie, but that's exactly. I mean, I saw a man and a woman holding hands, and they landed on the roof of the Marriott Hotel, and I was like, I was more in shock. I was like, oh, this is not a movie. This is real.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I would hope I would never experience anything like this in my life again. It's just, it's going to stick. I could be 90 years old. I'll probably still remember it.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Okay. So you have some experience with adversity and with overcoming adversity and that sort of thing. And you knew some of the people that were in that other building.
Yeah.
Right.
We
and
lost
you, in
one
fact,
employee.
You worked in that building years before.
Yes.
Is that right?
When I first started in 1980, I was on the 102nd floor, and I was a little nervous, but because the building swayed, they said it has to sway so it doesn't fall. But and then the first 1992, they tried, but they tried underneath. So that, but this, no, I mean, they really got us. I think they caught us on guard, you know, the city, yeah.
Okay, so let's go forward then to October of 2021, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is when your accident.
Yes, when I had the car accident.
Took place in North Carolina. Can you tell us what happened in the accident?
Okay, well, Jay and I, he would drive to the airport. I would drive back. I'm coming. And we're in Little River. And on the right of it is a plantation. And I saw, you know, there's a car waiting to pass. So
is this an intersection?
It's a traffic light.
Right.
Yeah, it's actually, you can go out as long as there's a space and to turn and go around.
Okay.
So the light changes. Now, I guess the guy that hit me wasn't paying attention, so I'm moving. He thought he could probably go through. So wherever he hit me in the back, and as I said, my car rolled over three times. So the impact must have been really for him to make my car roll over three times. I mean, I had an Equinox. That's an SUV, so.
So you're riding down the road, minding your own business.
And as I'm getting ready to go, when the light, he.
And somebody comes out of nowhere, slams you in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes your SUV to roll over three times.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. And then, so what happened after that?
After that, the ambulance came and the fire department. There was a woman who said she was a nurse, that she would help me out of the car. I said, no one's helping me out of the car. I mean, I didn't lose consciousness or anything, but I did have, like, from the seatbelt, you need to wear your seatbelts, but from the seatbelt, I had a big, like, a welt around my neck. I was basically all bruised. My whole body was bruised. They took me to the emergency room, and, you know, everything was fine, but I was just basically bruised. And based on what I had from 9/11, this added to it, so I'm just leery of anything that's not right. It's just, you know, and as I said, it took me 20 years, no exaggeration, to actually see the 9/11 program that they had there. If time it comes on, where we live in Brunswick Plantation, every year they read the names. I did it like 3 years ago, the first time. I was even surprised that I did it. I read the names, and I've done it like the last 2 years in a row just to, you know, honor the people that passed and stuff like that.
Sure. Sure, yeah. Well, I can definitely understand that. I think that was a, you know, one of the most significant.
And as I said, I just thought it was just a normal, you know, that accidents happen.
Sure, yeah.
But that second plane, I thought maybe it was a, I have no idea. It was just like, yeah.
Okay.
So.
So I understand. Okay, so after the accident that took place in the traffic accident that took place in October of 2021, did you know immediately that you were, that you had some serious injuries?
No.
Okay. In fact, they said, the ER said, hey, you're just bruised and you're going to be okay. And then what happened after that?
After that, I had started, I mean, my body was really hurting me. Psychologically, it was like I was playing over my mind, and it was like an accident should not have happened. Then I started thinking about 9/11 again, you know, and then I actually said it's 21 years, 1 month, and 3 days from the accident. And that just popped into my head just unexpectedly. So, and I said to him, another tragedy, I'm going to be in my 80s. Just take me. I mean, it's just, I can't.
Okay, so at some point you realize, at some point you realize that you are, you do have some more serious injuries than you anticipated. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And what were those injuries?
Well, as I said, my arms, I had to actually get surgery on this shoulder, and then I had to get surgery on this shoulder. And they had them like 6 months apart. So, yeah. So,
and
I mean,
what did they have to repair?
The rotator cuff they had to remove, I think. So now I'm going to this gym, which now I have the back. I mean, I couldn't even touch like this in the back. Now I can at least do this. And I've been going there, how many, 3 months? Yeah, 3 months. So I keep doing that, and hopefully I could get to be my normal self again.
So the interesting thing about that, I think, is that when you were at the emergency room, they do what emergency rooms do, right?
They took x-rays.
They figure out it doesn't look like you're going to die.
No.
And you don't have any broken bones.
I didn't have any head injuries at
so
all.
So they don't know anything more than that about the seriousness of your injuries.
No. And then also not only the injuries, but then you have mental stuff going on in your head too.
Sure, yeah. And then, but you did something that's important then. You got treatment, and then you got follow-up treatment.
Yes.
And then during that follow-up, when did you discover and how did you discover that these injuries to your shoulders?
The pain.
So you figured initially pain will get better over time. I got hit really hard. It'll subside in a couple of weeks or months.
And then
or
after 6 months, because you can't do it that close together. So 6 months I had this one, and then the other 6 months I had this one.
So this is something that we see a lot of times. It seems like you know, a lot of our clients, they work hard, they've raised families, they take care of their families, and if they get involved in an accident, they're very quick to, if they get a clean bill of health from the ER, or if they don't, you know, if nothing's visibly broken, then they're like, okay, I got to get back to work and do it, because you got rent, you got house payment,
right.
you got to take care of your family, you got to go to the grocery store.
If it was just like a fender bender, yes.
But let me ask you this. So then what happens a lot of times is people say, well, it'll probably get better. It'll probably get better. You know, I went to the ER. They checked me out. I don't have anything broken. It'll probably get better. So they don't have any follow-up treatment.
No.
And then 6 months later, they still have the same problem. It hasn't gotten any better. In fact, it's gotten worse. And then they want to come to call us. And at that point, there's a problem because you have what's called a gap in treatment, right? And when you have a gap in treatment, insurance companies can use that as a basis to deny a claim, to not pay a claim.
To be honest, I don't know. I don't know if the no-fault paid or if my insurance paid. I had, all I know that the bill was paid and I had, you know, a minimum co-payment. I'm thinking it was under no-fault because when I worked with insurance. So I believe it was probably under no-fault, but I'm not 100% sure.
Well, so what I'm telling you, what I'm saying to you is that in North Carolina, what will happen in these situations is a lot of people will say to themselves, it'll probably get better, so I don't need to get medical treatment. But then, fortunately for you, you did go to the doctor. You did get follow-up treatment.
Yes.
They were able to identify. How did they identify these injuries?
X-rays, I believe.
Well, the X-rays...
Well, I went to a specialist that does the... What was... I forgot the type of doctor.
Was it MRI?
Yeah, but he was actually the one that checked me out, the one that did the surgeries. But, yeah, they did an MRI, I believe it was.
So in an MRI is different from an X-ray because
yes.
You can see soft tissue damage.
Yes.
Right? And that's where the rotator cuff injuries would have been apparent.
Yes. And he actually showed it to me after he got the X-ray, you know, on where the injury is and stuff like that. And then 6 months later, as I said, I had to do the right shoulder. So
what advice would you give to somebody who has been in an accident and they're hurting, but they don't have any broken bones, and they don't have any active life-threatening injuries.
Visible injuries, right. They should, because in a month, 2, 3 months from now, it could get serious because it went untreated, and they may not even think it's from the accident that they had. So mine just happened to be, because I was basically all bruised, and that's basically what they looked on. But then I noticed, like, a couple of days later, like, something's not right. So I went to the doctor, and he's like, no, you need another surgery. And he said it's from the accident.
So it's important to get that follow-up treatment and to make sure that somebody looks, if you know that something's not right, is to continue to have that follow-up treatment.
If that's all I had, but then again, it could have been 3 months later. Then I could say, well, 3 months ago I was in a serious car accident, so maybe that's what it is. But no, any pain.
Well, the problem is when you wait like that, then that gives the injury. You have a legal obligation to mitigate your damages.
That's it.
So when people don't. To get that follow-up treatment, it'll be all right. I'm sure it'll be all right.
Because you could know it could fester in a couple of months. So yeah.
Yeah, that's a problem. So we encourage people to get the treatment that they need.
Because you don't know what if nothing happens, that's fine. But if you don't report it and have it on file, they can say, how do we know that's from the accident?
Right. Exactly. Let me ask you this: what? Because it could have been anything. You could have fallen in the shower. You could have, it could have been anything.
Yep.
So, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Okay. So. The surgery, what was that like, and what was the recovery process like?
Oh, my God. The recovery process was like 6 weeks. I had to sleep in a recliner for 6 weeks. Mm. You know, laid back. I couldn't lay straight down. And it was very, especially taking a shower. I could take off the brace, but it was just very difficult. Even going to the restroom was very, very difficult to go.
So they had to do one shoulder at a time, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, wow. Forget it. Then I won't be able to do anything. Yeah. No. This was the left was done, and then 6 months later, because they said with the anesthesia, you can't have too much of something, but they wanted this to heal. As I said, it's gotten better, but it's never going to be 100%.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, and then the recovery process, how long did that take? Was it painful?
Yeah.
Are you glad you did it? Are you better now than you would have been?
Oh, I'm glad I did the surgery. That's what you, yes. Well, the recovery, I would say, it's still going on, but it's not, I would say, hard recovery as far as really to get, and I was depressed, too, because I really couldn't do the things that I used to do, but it was harder, the recovery, but now I could do more, but I can't do as a lot as I want to do, but, I mean, I told you, back in my hands, I could do this, but it's a slow process, but it's getting there.
Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.